Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, October the 3rd, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue today to take a look at your word. We're grateful for all that you continue to show us, the changes that are happening swiftly around us. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us as you continue to walk with us and to prepare us for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share an article with you that I found in the Counterpunch website. That's the Counterpunch website. And it was published back on January the 30th, 2019. The writer of the article is Carl Grossman. That's Carl with a K, K-A-R-L. Grossman, G-R-O-S-S-M-A-N. And the title of the article is A Theology of Power, Mike Pence and the Dominionists. The title again, A Theology of Power, Mike Pence and the Dominionists. Now, of course, you're aware of the fact that we've talked about the Dominionists before, talked about this group of individuals who believe that God has given them the power to take control of the earth and that they're planning to do that. And they say that their theology tells them that Jesus will not come again until they have taken dominion of all of the world. And of course, they use Genesis chapter 1 as their text for that. When they say that God gave unto Adam and Eve dominion over the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, etc., etc. Now, in that text, you won't find anything that has anything to do with a dominion over mankind. But that is their interpretation of it. So today, let me just give you the title one more time, A Theology of Power, Mike Pence and the Dominionists. Now, Carl Grossman, the writer of the article, is a professor of journalism at State University in New York College in Old Westbury. And of course, he is a writer of a few books, and he's also an associate of the Media Watch Group, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. All right, let's take a look at the article. Here we go. Those involved in what's become a major component of the evangelical right in the United States call themselves Dominionists. They follow dominion theology. Pointing to the Bible, they emphasize that it is God's, that in it, God gave humans dominion over the natural world and life in it. This, they believe, gives them license to exploit the earth. Further, the dominionists have expanded this to justify theocratic rule of all society. It is an evangelical segment that Donald Trump has sought to attract. They constitute a significant portion of his so-called base. As the just-published book says, The Shadow President, The Truth About Mike Pence, by award-winning journalists and authors Michael Antonia and Peter Fischner, they said, for most of his life, Pence has believed that he was guided by God's plan. He believed that the Lord intended for him to halt the erosion of religious conviction in the United States. And though he avoided stating it himself, many of his evangelical friends believe Pence's ultimate purpose was to establish a government based on biblical law. That was what they called Christian dominionism. All right, so now we're getting a picture. You get a little view of exactly what this man has thought of himself and what he considers that God is calling him to do. He is going to be the one who is going to establish this. All right? Well, let's continue. Let's continue. Thus arises a big wrinkle in the Trump situation. If Trump resigns, is impeached, or otherwise is no longer president and Pence replaces him, it could not only be a change of who is on top, but a likely push for a different form of United States government. Now, of course, notice that this article is talking about impeachment. And the reason why it is talking about impeachment is because the article was published before the impeachment, back on January 30th, 2019. All right, continuing. As for their use of the word dominion, the dominionists are using a dubious translation of the Hebrew word. They take the name of their movement from Genesis and its passage relating how God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, etc., etc. Now, but the Hebrew word, virud, verdu, is what has been translated to dominion. But as Dr. David Enrenfell, professor of biology and at Rutgers University, and Rabbi Philip Bentley wrote in their essay, Judaism and the Practice of Stewardship, there is an inadequacy of this translation. They quote Rashi, the French rabbi, of a millennium ago, and a famous biblical commentator as explaining, the Hebrew verdu connotes both dominion, which derives from rada, and descent, which derives from varad. And the interpretation is, when man is worthy, he has dominion over the animal kingdom. When he is not, he descends below their level, and the animals rule over him. Now, I found it rather interesting that these Jewish scholars would respond to the evangelical interpretation of the translation in this way. Continuing. Here's a whole dimension of meaning which cannot be conveyed by an English translation, says Bentley and Ehrenfeld, the two Jewish scholars. Further, they cite context within Judaism, as Pope Francis did for both Judaism and Christianity in his encyclical on the environment of 2015. Ehrenfeld and Bentley write the following. There's no evidence that we are aware of that these verses in Genesis were ever interpreted by the rabbis as a license for environmental exploitation. Indeed, such an interpretation is contrary to their teachings and to the whole spirit of Jewish law. They cite numerous passages in the Bible regarding this. There are in Judaism a number of specific rules, together constituting a kind of stewardship manual, setting forth humanity's particular responsibility for its behavior towards natural resources, towards animals, and other parts of nature. In other words, what they're saying is that man was given stewardship, but he was not given the permission to exploit nature and to exploit the world. Now, these are the Jews coming back at these people. All right, continuing. First, among these rules is the commandment of Bal Tahit, Hebrew for do not destroy. They point to the Bible stating that when thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy. So notice these Jewish scholars are going even further. They're saying that this whole concept of dominionism is not a permission to destroy, is not permission to take advantage of and to do as you please with, but to be a steward. Okay, continuing. They continue to write, from this source is derived the notion of Bal Hayit, do not destroy, an ancient and sweeping series of Jewish environmental regulations that embrace not only the limited case in question, but have been rabbinically extended to a great range of transgressions, including the cutting off of water supplies to trees, the overgrazing of the countryside, the unjustified killing of animals or feeding them harmful foods, the hunting of animals for sport, species extinction and destruction of cultivated plant varieties, pollution of air and water, overconsumption of anything, and the waste of mineral and other resources. So these Jews are really going after this whole dominionist thing, and they're saying, listen, you don't have permission to do that. As a matter of fact, and the next thing that they do is they use something here that is really amazing. Here's what they say. It is also the Sabbath, they write, that can reconcile the Jewish attitude towards nature. It's a time that we create nothing, we destroy nothing, and we enjoy the bounty of the earth. Now they're talking about the Sabbath now. In this way, the Sabbath becomes a celebration of our tenancy and stewardship in the world. So notice these Jewish theologians are saying that this whole dominion is a celebration of your tenancy. In other words, it doesn't belong to you. You are a tenant. And not only are you supposed to be a tenant, but you are supposed to be a steward. Now, I find these guys are really on the money here. Continuing. Then there is the sabbatical year that comes every 7 years when Jews are supposed to let land life follow to restore itself. So instead of destroying it, instead of wiping out and doing what you want and having dominion and telling everything what to do, you are supposed to be a tenant. You are a tenant and you are a steward. And that includes the sabbatical year when every 7 years when Jews are supposed to let the land lie fallow to restore itself. Now continuing, Rabbi Lam says, it does not take much scholarship to recognize the emptiness of this charge against the Bible, particularly as it is interpreted in the Jewish tradition. Judaism on many levels, states Lam, possess the values on which an ecological morality may be grounded. So in other words, he's saying, if you guys are going to get together and interpret the word that way from the Hebrew, then let me tell you something. You are way, way off the pike. The biblical texts, they say, are to be read in their context. He speaks of Genesis telling us to till and keep the garden of the world. Tilling refers to cultivating, plowing, or working, while keeping means caring for, protecting, overseeing, and preserving. This implies a relationship of mutual responsibility between human beings and nature. Each community can take from the bounty of the earth whatever it needs for subsistence, but it also has the duty to protect the earth and to ensure its fruitfulness for coming generations. And he makes the point, the writer of the article makes the point that Pope Francis seems to understand this. And here's what he says that the Pope says. The Pope cites the biblical admonition that the earth is the Lord's and to him it belongs. The earth with all that is within it. He points to the words in Leviticus. The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. Now, what is interesting about this is that the Pope agrees with these Jewish guys from the terminology of the word, because, you know, the Pope is into climate change and he believes that the earth should be preserved. Now, of course, that is something entirely different that he's coming at there. But the writer of the article is saying that these people are off the charts in their interpretation of dominion, both from the point of view of Jewish scholars, linguistic scholars, and also from the Pope. Continuing, it says here, in his 2016 article, Dominionism Rising, a theocratic movement hiding in plain sight, published by Frederick Clarkson, he writes about the roots of dominion theology, notably the writings of theologian R.J. Rushdoony. He discusses Rushdoony's 1973 800-page Institutes of Biblical Law, which offered what he believes was a foundation for a future biblically-based society, and his vision of generations of dominion men advancing the dominion mandate described in the biblical book of Genesis. He notes another theologian, C. Peter Wagner, and his 2008 book, Dominion, How Kingdom Action Can Change the World, in which Wagner states, we have an assignment from God to take dominion and transform society. And he cites a speech Wagner made that year declaring, dominion has to do with control. Dominion has to do with rulership. Dominion has to do with authority. And it relates to society. In other words, what the values are in heaven need to be made manifest here on earth. Now that is C. Peter Wagner talking. And of course, you can see the beginning of this dominionist. So they are going to enforce on earth, they claim, the values that are in existence in heaven. But of course, heaven is not enforced. Heaven is an attitude of worship, an attitude of choice. But here, they are going to... Let me read what he said here again. This is C. Peter Wagner talking. Dominion has to do with control. Dominion has to do with rulership. Dominion has to do with authority. And it relates to society. In other words, what the values are in heaven need to be made manifest here on earth. Dominion means being the head and not the tail. Dominion means ruling as kings. In The Shadow President, D'Antonio and Eisner detail how Trump's picked Pence as his running mate, largely to cement relations with evangelicals and hard-right conservatives, and also because of the sameness that Trump and Pence have on many issues. Humble superiority had been Pence's default setting during the 12 years in Congress, and 4 as Indiana's governor, where his blending of religion and politics had alienated fellow Republicans, who noted he could be harsh in his treatment of his opponents and stubborn in his beliefs. They write, quote, "When Pence denied climate change or questioned the fact that smoking caused cancer, they saw unseemingly an irrational arrogance. His disregard for science and other realms of expertise made him more like President Trump than many Americans understood." So now you're beginning to get a little feel for the attitude being displayed by Donald Trump with regard to his anti-scientific approach, not realizing that even though the visible personality of Pence, who just stands there quietly and looks at his president and with admiring glances and says nothing, the attitudes that exist in him are exactly the same. Continuing, amid the churn and uncertainty of the Trump presidency, Pence reassured many that should Trump leave office, someone with a steady temperament would be there. Although it was never stated openly, he was already functioning as a kind of shadow president, taking on so many domestic, foreign, and partisan political assignments that he seemed more engaged in serious matters than the TV-addicted president himself. They described intense evangelical doings at the White House. They write about evangelical Ralph Dollinger, who imagines himself to be a prophet and is the leader of the Trump cabinet weekly prayer meeting, which Mike Pence attended with regularity. And I don't know if you know this, but there is a Wednesday prayer meeting held in the Oval Office every Wednesday. And if you've seen pictures of it, you'll see these men standing around the president laying their hands on him. And the record says that they pray and ask God to keep back the demons. And of course, in their thinking, the demons are those who would want to remove Trump from office and stand in the way of their agenda, which they want to pass. Okay, continuing. They cite a comment of Dollinger in 2017 that the U.S. government God-given responsibility and primary calling is to moralize a fallen world through the use of force. Now, let me read that sentence again for you. They cite a comment of Dollinger, and of course now Dollinger, Ralph Dollinger, he considers himself a prophet, and he's one of these evangelical ministers who considers himself a prophet, says this: "The U.S. government God-given responsibility and primary calling is to moralize a fallen world through the use of force." Now that gives you a feel for where we stand here in this article. And, you know, these are the people who are pushing the agenda that we see happening around us. And of course, you might get the impression that it is Trump making all of these decisions and taking these positions that are harsh and exclusive and conflicting and creating a havoc between two groups of individuals in the nation, and for that matter, in the world. But in actual fact, there is a hidden agenda being pushed by these dominionists who have really joined hands with Catholicism where that is concerned. You and I need to understand that God has warned us about all of this in advance. He's done that for a reason. That text that I quote so often, I told you before it come to pass, so that when it come to pass, you will know that I have told you. He does that. He has done that. And for years, he has been warning his people. Even the messages of the prophets gone by, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all of these men are pointing forward in so many cases to where we are living today. He intends to give us every opportunity to turn in the right direction and to hand our lives over to him completely so that we might walk according to his will. And today God is calling you. He's calling me so that we might obey his call and to share that which we have with others from day to day. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to embrace us the way that you do. We thank you for the probationary period that you have given us to understand and commit to truth. And today we ask that you would give us the strength that we might be ready and committed and willing to share with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, October the 3rd, 2020.